Hello, welcome to Filled With Messages. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Ruth Farrell, and amongst other things, I'm the lead pastor of St. Peter United Church of Christ in Lake Zurich, Illinois. A few years ago, I was meeting with a professional contact for the first time. To illustrate a point we were discussing, I was telling a very short personal story. But midway through, my professional contact interrupted me and said sternly, "You have to forgive." I was a bit taken aback. The story wasn't over yet, and if she had just given me not even a full minute, she would have learned that I had indeed forgiven. Also, I had just met this person, and being lectured by a near stranger, or quite frankly anyone, doesn't feel very good. Forgiveness is something we talk a lot about, especially in church circles. But even though it's a common topic, the details surrounding forgiveness can be pretty murky. Perhaps this is partly because forgiveness is rarely something we talk about learning or growing in. It's normally more or less a just do it conversation. Case in point, many people think Jesus or the Bible says, forgive and forget. I hate to break it to you, but you're not going to find that or even that idea anywhere in Scripture. Our text today is a letter from Paul to a guy named Philemon, inviting him to consider forgiving someone who had apparently wronged him. The letter details the complexities of forgiveness and doesn't offer quick answers. But perhaps in acknowledging that forgiveness is hard, we can find grace for ourselves and others. Often grace softens and changes our heart, which is one of the ways forgiveness starts. I'm going to read the entirety of Philemon, but don't worry. It's the third shortest book of the Bible, coming in at 335 words in its original Greek. In contrast, Jeremiah, the longest book in the Bible, has over 33,000 Hebrew words. Before I start reading, let me give you a quick cast of characters, because there are quite a few in this letter. Paul is the author. He was an itinerant preacher who had helped Philemon come to know Jesus' love. Philemon was a wealthy man. The church met in his house. As was common practice in the Roman world, as a person of privilege, Philemon enslaved people. More on that in a moment. One of the people he enslaved was named Onesimus. The circumstances are quite fuzzy, but for some reason, Onesimus left Philemon's household and ended up with Paul. They became quite close to each other, and now Paul was sending Onesimus back to Philemon. So again, Paul, author, Philemon, recipient and enslaver, Onesimus, person who was enslaved. Hear these words from the epistle, which is just a fancy word for letter, to Philemon. Paul, a brother of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner in Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit for you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to ask you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and as do Mark, Archytas, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The Lord, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds and our bodies to receive your good news for us today, your words of life and healing, your words of wisdom and guidance. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your eyes, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the United States, the epistle to Philemon has a dark history. It was used during the antebellum era as a rationale for slavery. The argument went like this. If Paul, a great pillar of the church, sent an enslaved person back to his enslaver, then the same principle should hold true in the 1800s in the United States. This argument has many, many problems. But I also want to acknowledge that Paul never explicitly condemned slavery in any of his writings in the New Testament, and that is disappointing to say the least. Slavery in the Roman world was extremely different than it was in the antebellum South. Again, I want to be clear. This does not mean that Roman era slavery was better or good or right. But it's also important for us to have some sense of the differences because doing so helps us read our Bibles more clearly. We Americans have a particular narrative about slavery, and we can sometimes read that into Scripture, which gives us a confused perspective on what the biblical authors are describing. Perhaps the most significant difference between American slavery and Roman-era slavery was that the latter was not based on race. Anyone of any race could be enslaved at any time. Being enslaved was a real worry people lived with on a daily basis. One could become enslaved because one failed to pay one's debts, or because one kidnapped, and a lot of reasons in between. Slavery was also not limited to one area of the Roman world. It was pervasive throughout. Some estimate that around the time Paul was writing, 1 in 5 people in the city of Rome were enslaved. In other words, about 20% of the population was enslaved. Unlike antebellum America, where slaves were intentionally prohibited from learning to read and write, in the Roman world it was common practice to intentionally educate enslaved people. Wealthy and privileged people in the Roman world didn't want to be bothered with learning to read or write. So they selected, often a young enslaved child, to do so for them. In fact, there are hints that Paul used enslaved or formerly enslaved people as the scribes for his letters. And the Gospel of Mark has origins that are tied by a very early church historian to an enslaved scribe as well. In other words, it's quite possible that Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark, was an enslaved or formerly enslaved person. Shifting our focus back to Philemon and Onesimus, Paul is writing to ask Philemon to take Onesimus back into his household. Paul seems to hint that Onesimus has wronged Philemon. Assuming that is indeed the case, Philemon, as the enslaver, would have been within his rights to have Onesimus punished, even put to death for the crime. Yet, Paul asks Philemon to set aside his rights and take Onesimus back, not just as one of his enslaved people, but as a brother. It's quite the request. What do you think Philemon felt as he read these words for the first time? At moments, all of us have the opportunity to suspend our rights or privileges to benefit someone else. It may be as small as letting someone cut ahead of you in line at the store without saying something, or it may be something as significant as deciding to forgive your spouse after infidelity. Note, I'm not saying the marriage has to continue. I'm only talking about forgiveness in this moment. As Christians, our faith likely impacts these decisions to suspend our rights in order to encourage or foster growth or love someone else. The example we have in Jesus doesn't demand we blindly suspend what we need, even what is rightfully ours, but it does prompt us to consider if we are being invited to do so. Is there a situation in your life right now where you're being invited, never forced, to suspend your rights for the benefit of someone else? Again, I want to be clear, this does not apply to situations where there is abuse. That is a different category and context altogether. As Philemon's mentor and pastor, Paul had the right to obligate Philemon to take back Onesimus, but he doesn't. Paul recommends it, asks Philemon if he'll consider it, even puts on a bit of a guilt trip about it, but that's as far as Paul goes. Although sometimes we put a lot of pressure on others and ourselves to forgive, ultimately, it cannot be forced or required. Forgiveness needs space and time. In order to truly forgive, we need to give the feelings of betrayal and hurt their due. We need to sit with them and honor the wisdom they have for us. While Paul encourages Philemon to forgive Onesimus and embrace him as a brother, he does not tell Philemon to just get over it already. He doesn't tell Philemon to pretend it never happened. He doesn't tell Philemon to say to Onesimus, "That's okay, no big deal." Perhaps Paul doesn't say any of that because none of those things are true forgiveness. Real forgiveness offers kindness and love, but also sticks up for change on the part of the one who is in the wrong. It requires the person who is offering forgiveness to not accept being treated in the same way again. While this epistle was addressed primarily to Philemon, Paul also greets a few others. He mentions Apphia, possibly Philemon's wife. He sends his hellos to Archippus, whom he names our fellow soldier, which is probably a euphemism for church leader, although we're not sure. Lastly, Paul salutes the whole church that met in Philemon's home. This letter would have been read to all of these people, likely by an enslaved person whose job it was to do so, since only about 10% of the population in the Roman world was literate. In other words, everybody in Philemon's household and church knew that Paul had recommended Philemon forgive Onesimus. I wonder what unsolicited advice the peanut gallery gave to Philemon upon hearing Paul's words. How do you support someone who has been wronged and is struggling with forgiveness? Do you give unsolicited advice? Do you offer platitudes? Do you tell the person to get over themselves? Do you offer a story about a time when you've struggled to forgive? May I recommend a different way? Try just being present with the person who is hurting. Listen well to them. If they are indicating they want to forgive, perhaps encourage and support that. But first and foremost, offer gentleness and care. Sometimes when we're struggling with forgiveness, we should, S-H-O-U-L-D, all over ourselves. We feel like we should be able to forgive more easily. We feel like Christians should forgive as we've been forgiven. But forgiveness is hard. And just because we're struggling with something doesn't make us bad people or bad Christians. For example, Paul describes Philemon as loving, full of faith, effective, someone who refreshes other people's hearts, and encourager. All of those things are evidence that Philemon is keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, that he was faithfully following Jesus. Struggling with forgiveness doesn't mitigate our faith. It doesn't mean we don't love God. Wrestling with forgiveness is human. The Christian life is ongoing. We are called to always be growing, changing, learning, expressing our faith in new ways. Moments when we have to wrestle with life, like times when we find it hard to forgive, can help us find a more honest faith. They can draw us closer to Jesus as we need to rely on him to help us heal, which is part of the forgiveness process. I want to be very clear that I am not saying that it is good when we are hurt and struggling to forgive. I am not saying that what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, because sometimes the opposite is very true. And I am certainly not saying that God intentionally puts us through trials so we can grow. But as we are going through difficult seasons, if we are up for it, we can make space for growth in the midst of them. I'm sort of known for saying that one of the best ways to read the Bible is if through a kaleidoscope. Turn the stories and teachings in it around and around and around. See what new thoughts, images, expressions the Holy Spirit shares with us as we do. Maybe spend some time today or throughout this week turning Philemon around in the kaleidoscope of your heart, mind, and body. Put yourself in the shoes of each person in the story. Ask yourself how you would have felt if you were Philemon or Onesimus or Apphia or Paul. And as you do all that, may you be listening for where the Holy Spirit is inviting, never forcing or coercing, but inviting you to grow and maybe even forgive.